As I was praying to see what the Lord had me share this morning, I felt the Lord's leading to set aside just temporarily our current series on managing life God's way and to just share with you some things from the Word that I think will encourage you and build you up today and just help us in the situations that we may be facing in our lives. You know, I've noticed that in the last year, 6 months to a year or so, there's been many believers in our particular family, as well as outside of our family of believers, that have been under a lot of attack. There's been a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening in order to get us distracted, in order to get us off the Word, in order to defeat us, or whatever the case may be. And I just want to talk about some things today that I believe will help us to just get through victoriously the rest of this year as we keep these things in mind, and just understand that even though Jesus has won us the victory, He never promised there would not be trials. Isn't that right? Amen. But you know, great trials bring great testimonies. And even though there are trials, and it's not that God brings the trials, it's, you know, sometimes we bring our own trials. Sometimes, you know, we have an adversary that we're going to talk about today, and he wants to destroy us and bring trials into our life. And you know, there's other people. We're in a fallen world, and all sorts of things take place. And so there's a variety of reasons why trials, trouble, problems come into our life. But instead of looking at things in a negative realm all the time, we ought to begin to look at things in an optimistic way, because whenever things come against us, it's another opportunity for God to show Himself strong on behalf of those that trust in Him. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, again, we don't want trials. We don't want trouble. We don't want problems. But they're going to be here just by reason of the fact that we're living on planet Earth. They're going to happen. But what we do in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those problems, is going to determine so much as to how much we grow, as to how much we just get stronger and all these things. And it's going to determine in so many ways the end result. It's the end result that we're out for. And that end result is the receiving of the promise of God manifest in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's talk about some of these things today in the little bit of time that we have. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to read to you, and excuse my voice today. I miss 1 week and my voice weakens or something. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's just start reading here at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Say, "His hand is mighty." "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you that as we approach the Word of God today and the study of the Word of God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is our great teacher, and He's going to lead us and guide us into the truth of the Word today, that He's going to open up the eyes of our understanding to receive that which we need today. I believe, Father, that you have a nugget of truth for every individual, whatever state they're in, whatever situation they're facing. Father God, you've got something for everybody today from your precious Word, and by way of the Holy Spirit enlightening their eyes. And so, Father God, we thank you for your will being accomplished today, for the words that you desire to be spoken today. And Father, we believe that as we leave today, all of us will have received something to keep us going strong in you and in this world. Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was looking at this afresh, you'll notice again that it says, as we go back up to verse 6, it says that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. Then He says, casting all your cares, casting all your cares upon Him, casting all your anxieties, all your concerns, all the worries that you have, casting them upon Him, because He cares about you. Amen? And then he goes on and he talks about some things that sometimes we may disconnect from that verse of Scripture, but it all goes together. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. First, he says, cast all your cares, anxieties, troubles, worries over on the Lord. And then he says, be sober and vigilant, because you have an adversary. How many of you know you have an adversary? Amen. A lot of people today don't necessarily believe there is a devil, but the Bible talks much about this entity, this individual, this fallen angelic being once known as Lucifer. The Bible has much to say about him, and he is called in this new covenant our adversary. Adversary means our opponent, which means that he is opposed to us. And it says that he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. But yet he says, prior to that, he says, but cast your care. So he doesn't want us to be worried about our adversary, does he? He doesn't want us to be concerned about this adversary, the devil, that's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he says in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. So not only does he tell us not to worry, he tells us not to be concerned. Then he tells us to be sober and vigilant, which we'll define in a few minutes. But then he says, but resist him. He tells us we've got the power to resist him by faith, don't we? And so don't worry, but resist. You have an adversary, but don't be concerned. Because God cares for you, and you've been given the power to resist that adversary. And that power is the power of the mighty hand of God. Amen? Amen. And part of the ingredients for resisting him is the fact that he says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because as we humble ourselves, humility means, God, I need you. Humility means I can't do this on my own strength. I need the strength of God. Amen? And so he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, remembering that his hand is mighty. Humble yourself under that mighty hand, and that mighty hand will take care of you and lift you up and exalt you in the midst of trouble, in the midst of anxiety that tries to attack your mind. That mighty hand of God, as you humble yourself and say, God, I need you, will lift you up above that circumstance. And will lift you up and cause you to have the power you need to resist your adversary, the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And so say, I've got the power of God to resist the enemy. We need to believe that. We need to be reminded of that. And so many believers, really, they're afraid of the devil. Some people, I remember hearing people say this, oh, don't mention the devil. He might come around. Well, let me just tell you, he'll be around anyway, and it's not necessarily him, but his cohorts, amen? He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere all the time. He is limited to time and space, as far as we understand from the Word of God, but he does have help, doesn't he? He has cohorts. But again, the thing that we need to remember is, no matter what, we have the mighty hand of God as we humble ourselves under it in order to lift us up or exalt us above whatever the enemy brings our way. And so, you know, the enemy wants to destroy. We know Jesus said, we're not going to turn there because of time, but John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But then he said prior to that, but the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, doesn't he? And so we have an adversary, and he wants to steal from us. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. But you must understand right away that he must not be able to do that at his every whim, or he would have already done that as far as killing you and all those things. I mean, it would be happening constantly if he could do it at every whim. But he can't. Why? Because you and I are sons and daughters of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's just look at a few other things about this. Is everybody doing all right today? Look at the way this particular passage is said. Verse 8 in the Amplified Bible up on the big screen. Verse 8 of the Amplified says it this way. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Now look at from the Message Bible, the next frame. It says it this way. Keep a cool head. I like that. How about you? Keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. But you know what? We're getting woke up today, aren't we? Amen? The Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord will keep us awake and keep us alert, keep us watchful. The whole point is this, let's not be napping. What does napping mean? When we look at it from the other scriptures, it talks about, you know, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God, Christ will give you light in Ephesians chapter 4 and other scriptures that talk about awake unto righteousness. And now it is high time in Romans chapter 13 to awake out of sleep. How many of you know some of those scriptures? Amen? Bible Bible talks about awake, be awakened. And it says be watchful, be alert, and all those various things. Well, you know, one of the things that we need to do in order to make sure we stay that way is we need to stay together. We need to stay in the Word. We need to stay sharpening our spiritual sensitivity in prayer and communion with God. And don't get lackadaisical thinking, well, I'm just riding along, you know, just on a bed of ease or whatever. Don't get lackadaisical, but be cautious. Don't be worried. Just be cautious and alert and watchful and be of a cool head. Amen. Amen? Amen. Knowing who you are in Christ, but staying alert. Because, you know, one thing that's happened to me now, with my son and that happening, you know, I'll tell you, I'm going to be a whole lot more alert. How about you? You know, amen. We just need to be alert and be watchful. And not in a fearful way, but watchful in a wise way, because you're ready to use your faith against whatever the enemy might try to bring across your path. Amen? We're not talking about living in a way that, you know, we see the devil around every bush. Forget about that stuff. We're not even necessarily talking about just Satan himself or his cohorts that might bring problems across our path. We're talking about life in general. Whether the enemy is doing it or not, life in general can bring problems and trials. We need to be alert and watchful. Amen? And ready to just use our faith and stand on the Word of God. All right, now. As we look at some of this, the word sober, you'll notice from your passage in verse 8, it says to be sober. The word sober literally means this. It means to be calm and collected in spirit. To be calm and collected in spirit. Well, that goes along with, have a cool head. Keep a cool head, right? A calm and collected in spirit. To be temperate. To be dispassionate. Now, that's an interesting word to define this idea of sober, to be dispassionate, which means this, to be unaffected by emotion. And it's referring to in a negative way. In other words, we're not to let emotions run roughshod over our lives. Amen? No matter what might be coming against us, no matter what the adversary may come against us with, or whatever the case may be, we cannot allow our emotions to rule and reign over our lives. We got to let the Word of God rule and reign over our lives. We've got to let the promises of God. We cannot allow emotions to be that which controls us, because whenever emotions control us, then we're unstable. We're tossed to and fro, and there's no telling which way we'll go next, because we're being led more by our emotion than we are by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. When you're being led by the Word and the Spirit, you stay steady. There's not these waves that come and cause you to be tossed from one thing to the other. And that's descriptive of this idea of emotion ruling and reigning. Now, we know we have emotion. We know God's given us emotion. And you've heard me, many of you have heard me before say, there's nothing wrong with emotions, but they were never intended to be our guide in life. They were never intended to be that which ruled our life. Because when we allow our emotions to rule our life, then we almost appear to be schizophrenic. Because one moment we feel like doing this, but then the next moment we feel like doing the exact opposite. And so we're being ruled by our emotion, aren't we? Yeah, yeah. And so with this idea of being sober, of a cool mind, but be of a calm spirit, if you will, means don't let your emotion rule and reign over you. You'll have emotions, but don't decide anything based on them. And don't allow them to overrun you so that you make wrong decisions. Amen? No matter what kind of decision it may be. It may be a simpler decision or a difficult decision. It doesn't matter. But don't let emotions be the dictator or the determining factor in making decisions in anything. You know, some of you are going to get up tomorrow morning and you're not going to feel like going to work. But how many of you know that it's probably a good idea that you go anyway? Isn't that right? And you know, sometimes we all go through different situations and we think, well, you know, I just don't want to have this job anymore. I'm going to find another one. How many of you know that everybody goes through this thought process of, I don't like my job? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if we did that to the degree that many people do, and if we did it every time we don't feel like having our job anymore, if we did that, man, we'd go from one job to the other every year, every other year, whatever. We'd be going from one job to the other. Isn't that right? How many of you know a lot of people do that today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, somebody loves their job. I got to tell you, there's times I want to quit. All right. You still don't want to go. You love your job. Amen. Amen. And so again, the idea is we can't let emotion rule and reign. We can't let that dictate to us. And in this situation, be sober, be vigilant, be of a cool mind. Don't let emotions determine what you're going to do. And then he says, be vigilant. And the word vigilant in this means this, to watch, to give strict attention, and to be cautious. We saw that basically with the other translations. And so to be vigilant means to be watchful. Again, not with a fearful eye, not with a terror or anything like that, but just be watchful and be wise and just be looking and seeing what's going on around you. Be looking, seeing, you know, the Bible talks about watch unto yourself. Be watchful and take heed unto yourself, doesn't it? And you know, a big key to being watchful pertaining to the adversary is being watchful over your own life. Be watchful over your spiritual strength and whether or not you're feeding on the Word of God. You know, coming to church one Sunday or one day out of the week or what have you is not enough to stay spiritually strong by the Word of God. Isn't that right? And even coming twice a week. In other words, even just coming to church in and of itself and hearing the Word of God. I try to give you a good, tasty, hot meal every time you come. We don't give cold snacks around here. You understand what I'm saying? But nevertheless, you know, if you just ate one hot meal a week for your physical body, it would not be enough. Isn't that right? No, the whole thing is you got to spend time in that Word yourself. You got to feed on that Word yourself. You got to spend time in just feeding and nourishing yourself in the Word of God. What I attempt to do is give you a place to start, to give you a jumping place to jump off of in order so that the rest of the week you can study and read and get into the Scriptures and feed every day on the Word of God. Commune with God in prayer every day. And so watch yourself. Take heed unto yourself is an important part of being watchful concerning the adversary, because there is an area. You know, one thing about the adversary. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. Don't lie to me, because, you know, that's a sin. But anyway. But, you know, one thing about the adversary, he knows your weaknesses. He knows those weak spots in your life. And it may not even be, again, I don't want you to think, you know, he's all-knowing. The devil himself is not. But again, he has cohorts. And sometimes, you know, they're referred to as familiar spirits. They're familiar with people. And you know, there's demons that are familiar with us and know our weak spot. They know our weaknesses. And so if a wall is down, if a hedge is down, if a protection is down because we've not sharpened our life or kept our spiritual life sharp, then the enemy has an opportunity, doesn't he? To get in there. And so, you know, one thing I want to ask you today, not that you would want to answer it out loud, but just ask yourself this question. Is there an area in your life that has become weakened and is more vulnerable to the attack of the enemy? Think about that. Just pray about it. Is there an area that I'm vulnerable? Is there something I'm doing that I know I shouldn't be? Or there's something I'm thinking that I know I need to take authority over? How many of you know sin begins in the mind, doesn't it? And so is there a thought pattern that I'm allowing myself to camp on or to dwell on that I need to repent of, that I need to get rid of? I need to act on the Word of God and cast down those imaginations, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says, and just begin to nip it in the bud right now. Amen. Yeah. Amen? We're talking about what? We're talking about we have an adversary of the devil who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Is there any area in your life? I want you to just examine yourself. I need to examine myself. Is there an area in my life that I've allowed to become susceptible or vulnerable to the adversary's attack? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If there is, and that only has between you and God, and then all you got to do is just begin to strengthen that, fortify that area. Begin to get scripture for that area. Begin to take authority over your thought life, if that applies. Whatever the case may be. If there's an area, you know, relationally, as far as your spouse or your children or employees or employers or whatever the case may be, if there's something there that needs to be shored up, if there's an area that has brought about an opportunity for failure, an opportunity for falling, an opportunity to be devoured by a roaring lion called the devil, get it now taken care of. Amen? Nip it in the bud now. Repent now. Ask God to forgive you now. Begin to get those thoughts out. Tell them to go. Begin to get new thoughts from the Word of God. Memorize Scripture. Amen. That apply to that particular area, or whatever the case may be. Is everybody doing all right today? Yeah. Amen. And you know, any of these things that, you know, we're talking about, again, the adversary, the devil goes about. Let me just share with you real quickly, and I've only got a few more minutes, some of the strategies of the adversary that I see in the Bible. Is that all right? Go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, let's start with verse 18. This is the parable of the sower, but I wanted to read it from Matthew's account to glean some things from this. Matthew chapter 13, are you there? It says this, beginning with verse 18 of Matthew 13. It says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." Now, I'm not going to elaborate on every detail of all of this, but notice the phrase, "does not understand it." How many of you know that understanding what you get from the Word of God is very important to not having it snatched away? Amen. To the degree we understand it, and that's partly my job, but also the Holy Spirit ultimately, amen, He's our teacher. But we need to understand, to the degree you understand something is the degree you're going to hold on to it, right? If you can understand it, you're not going to lose it so quickly, right? Amen. That applies to the Word of God. That implies other areas of our lives as well. Your work, whatever it is, if you can understand a concept, you're more apt to remember it. You're less apt to lose it, and you're going to hold on to it. It's going to become more a part of you if you understand it. Isn't that right? All right? So here he says again, the word of the kingdom. Anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? The wicked one is that adversary of the devil, right? I mean, we don't have time to prove that with Scripture, but most of us would understand that. There's no question when we compare Scripture with Scripture, but we don't have time for that right now. But the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. He receives seed by the wayside because he didn't understand the Word. And so not understanding the Word will cause the seed to be sown on the wayside, which will be snatched away by the wicked one. Going on, verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. That means he had a measure of understanding because he received it with joy. But then it goes on and says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Endures only for a while. He had great joy. He heard the word of God, got all excited about the promise of God, understood it to a certain extent, but he only endured for a while because there was something that happened. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, take note, because of the word. So that implication is that there is an adversary, the devil, in the context of this and the implication of the idea because of the word. The implication is that the wicked one was the inspiration of the tribulation, the persecutions, the problems that came in order so that the word would be stolen from that one's heart who did immediately receive it and got joyful about it and endured for a while. But because of those things happening, the word was stolen as well. Isn't that right? Does that make sense to you? Did I confuse you completely? Five of you are not confused. Good. Praise God. But the whole idea, the implication is this, that Satan, the wicked one, wants to inspire tribulation, persecution, for the word's sake, to get the word out of you, to get you off of the word of God, the promises of God, so that you will not be a threat to him, really, because you know it's you having the word in you that becomes a threat to the adversary. Right? He wants to get you off the word. If he can get you off the word of God, he's got you defeated, doesn't he? If he can get you out of believing the Word of God, if he can get you out of trusting in the Word of God, if he can get the Word of God to cease from coming out of your mouth, which God willing we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, if he can get you not believing it and just throwing it aside and letting him rip it out of your heart so that you're more inclined to believe what you see or feel or whatever instead of the Word of God, then he will have you defeated every time. It's the Word of God and faith in that word that brings the victory, doesn't it? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions, doesn't it say? Amen? Amen. The Bible talks about the counsel of the Lord and how those that receive the counsel of the Lord, which is the Word of God, will be delivered, will be preserved. I mean, there are so many promises for those who keep and take the Word of God on the inside of them. There are promises for them. And so Satan wants to get the Word out of you. And so some of his strategies is that of persecution, that of tribulation, that of trials, whatever way you want to define it. Some of the ways in which he gets you to get off of it for the word's sake. Notice again now, it says again in verse 21 of Matthew 13, it says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. All right? Because he has no root in himself. Now, there's a lot we could say about getting it rooted into us. The Word of God rooted means the Word has become entwined into our heart. It really becomes a part of our soul. You know, the idea of roots taking hold. Isn't that right? And so we need the Word of God to take hold in our life. And there's a variety of things we can talk about with that. You know, staying in it every day. Speaking the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. Standing on the Word of God when the circumstance looks contrary. Whatever it is, there's things to be done in order to get that Word rooted in us. And the enemy wants to uproot it, doesn't he? And so it goes on, verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Everybody's hearing the word, every one of these. Hears the word and the cares of this world. The word cares, some of you remember I taught this a long time ago, that means the distractions of this world. The cares of the distraction of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And so again now, we have the cares of this world. Now the stony ground had what? It had tribulation, persecution. So they only endured for a time. Now we've got thorny ground that has the cares of the distractions of this world and has deceitfulness of riches. And that, what? Chokes the Word of God. It's always an attack on the Word of God. You with the word in your heart is a threat to the enemy. He doesn't even care so much about you and is not really concerned about you, but he is concerned about you having the word in you and doing something with it. Is everybody doing all right? All right? And so we're talking about strategies of our adversary. Strategies of our adversary. Those are some of the things that he does. He wants to overwhelm your soul. He wants to overwhelm your soul with bad experiences, irritations, small calamities, so that he can destroy your faith and gain control over you through fear. He wants to overwhelm us with these kinds of things. I remember, as you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, about a thorn in the flesh, all these buffetings the Apostle Paul went through. Isn't that right? One thing right after another. He's trying to wear Paul down in order to defeat him, in order to get him to quit. Isn't that right? But thank God, God's grace was sufficient for Paul, and God's grace is sufficient for you and I as well. Amen? Amen. So many things here. All right? Other things. I'll just give these to you real quickly. Revelation 12 and verse 10 talks about Satan, the adversary, is the accuser and the slanderer before God of you. He accuses you. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. And you know one of the strategies that we could include with that is this idea of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't that right? And so condemnation is a weapon of the enemy. It is a strategy of his in order to get you down, get you to quit, in order to get you overwhelmed. Isn't that right? To get you under all this condemnation, all this feelings of guilt, and this feeling of you know, I'm no good. I just can't. All these negative things that you begin to be convinced of about yourself. You need to begin to be convinced about what God says about you and not what the condemnation says about you. What God says is, I can do, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? What God says is that you are not a loser, but you are a winner. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Isn't that right? What God says that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. God says you're not dumb. God says you've got the wisdom of God and you've got the mind of Christ. Because we're tapped into Him. We have Him. Amen? And so again, we just need to be reminded of some of the weapons or the strategies of the enemy. He wants to convince you you can't when God says you can. He wants to convince you you're defeated when God says you've got the victory. He wants to convince you that you're sick when God says by His stripes you're healed. Amen. Amen. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? And so, you know, I know that for many of us, we've been through trying times. We've been through difficult times. And there's nothing that'll guarantee that those difficult times and trying times are not going to be. They will be. They'll be here till Jesus comes again. But the exciting part of it is that in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those problems, we can gain victory. We can get a testimony of the greatness and the goodness of our God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop standing on His Word. Let me just tell you the status of Satan right now. Now, we talked about his strategy. Let me just tell you real quickly. I've got 3 minutes going to my clock. We're going to go by my clock, all right? The status of the enemy is, first of all, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. That means He disarmed them. Isn't that right? Satan is disarmed. Say, Satan's disarmed. All right, we appropriate that by faith, amen? His greatest weapon is deception. And the remedy or the antidote for deception is truth. And again, with truth, we go back to the Word of God, don't we?
Amen.
All right, the devil's work has been undone, according to 1 John 3:8. It's been undone. It's been loosed from you. You are delivered from the powers of darkness, Colossians 1:13 says. And you've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So He says, be of a cool mind. Amen? Be of a calm spirit. Even though you have an adversary, the devil, just remember the devil is spoiled. The devil is disarmed. The devil, and when we say spoiled, it also says they had to, you know, take their goods. When you spoil the enemy, you've taken his goods.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
He's been stripped of authority. You've been given authority in Christ. So the devil's works have been undone. First, he's spoiled principalities and powers. Jesus did. The devil's works have been undone. Jesus has paralyzed the devil. Say, he's paralyzed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, the word destroy means to be paralyzed, to render inoperative. And so again, you say, well, if he's been paralyzed, then why do I have so much trouble with him? Well, again, you got to remind him because he's kind of like one of those Japanese soldiers back in World War II that never got word that his army had been defeated. And kept on fighting and kept on fighting until finally he had to get somebody that was higher in authority in the Japanese military to tell him, you know, the war has already been lost. You can come home now. But yet for, you know, some of them, I guess for decades after the war, they were on these remote islands and still fighting the war. Well, you know what? Remind Satan that the war's been won.
Amen.
Jesus took care of it. Amen. Remind Satan that he is defeated. He may try to start a skirmish over here and a skirmish over there, but just remind him that in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the victory over him.
Amen.
Amen. And so he has been paralyzed. Jesus has given us delegated authority over him as well. You know, would you stand with me? We're going to make a confession of faith together. My time's up. And I had a few more things, but I always have a few more things. But how many of you believe? In fact, in case you don't, let me just tell you, the Bible says that the spirit of faith, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore have we spoken. Amen? The Bible talks about speaking our faith in a variety of places. Mark chapter 11 and verses 23 and 24 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. Amen? And many other scriptures, there's a connection between our faith and the words that come out of our mouth.
Amen.
And the words that come out of our mouth should be words that agree with the Word of God. Amen? And so I propose that we make a confession of faith. Can we read these together here? Let's say it together. I am a child of Almighty God. The Spirit of the Lord dwells on the inside of me. Greater and more powerful is the Holy Spirit in me than the devil in the world. I am more than a conqueror because of Christ's love for me. I can do anything my Father wants me to do because I have His strength. No weapon formed against me will destroy me. I am submitted to God. I resist the devil by faith, and he flees from me. God is for me. He is on my side. Who, therefore, can successfully be against me? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but he has given me the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and I have a sound mind. And I give thanks to my God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Let's give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Brett, let's worship God for a moment here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Never praise you, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will see.
I will follow.